It's not just generate an entire website from a prompt. We walk you through a process that should be guided by the designer with AI assisting you through that process. But that process is there for a reason. It's there to guide a client through a journey of getting to an end outcome, but also it's there so that the designer can, at certain stages, focus on the things that are most important at that stage. So we call it like respecting the process.
Welcome to Dive Club. My name is Rid, and this is where designers never stop learning. One of the tools that I'm most interested in right now is Relu. It's a new way to design and build websites faster with AI. But they have a pretty unique approach. So I wanted to connect with their co-founder, Adam Mura, to learn more. Now, the first half of this conversation is a full-blown demo of the product, and you can go to dive.club to watch that video. But since you're probably listening on mobile or in your car, I'm gonna cut to the interview portion where we talk about all of the different ways that AI will impact the design process and the role of a designer. So just watching you go through that process, it's very clear that AI is going to make the design process as we think of it today much more efficient. I'm almost curious like what that unlocks and maybe even how you see it evolving the way that we think about the design process. Like how does that going to change or what is now possible when things just take way less time?
I mean, this is something that I think about a lot, you know, how the role of a designer is changing with AI. And so I think there are sort of like a few things that are worth pointing out, right? So the first would be like ideation is rapid and it's also effortless. So unlike before with the design process, you would have to come up with a lot of the ideas or at least the starting point for a lot of these ideas. And now you have an AI assistant that can suggest things for you. So I think it almost changes it from you're now, instead of doing the heavy lifting, you're now critically or critiquing a design that the AI has put forward to you. Which is great because you're not having to do the laborious tasks and you're actually now having to think like a designer. So I guess that changes at every point of the process. One thing I want to point out is that I think having AI as this frame of being an assistant is something that like we always think about, and it's important to think about it in that way because we don't see AI being this thing that's just going to go ahead and like do the job for you. Definitely has its limitations and it has its strengths too. And so learning how to use the AI as you're an assistant in an effective way is going to be super helpful. And it's also the reason why we've built Relu the way we have. It's not just generate an entire website from a prompt. We walk you through a process that should be guided by the designer with the assistant of AI assisting you through that process. But that process is there for a reason. It's there to guide a client through a journey of getting to an end outcome, that being a website. But also it's there so that the designer can, at certain stages, focus on the things that are most important at that stage. So we call it like respecting the process.
Yeah, I really like the phrase respecting the process because I have played with other AI tools. And sometimes it feels like it is taking this really complex, robust process and just condensing it down into one step. And when you do that, a lot of times the output suffers. But
yeah,
having it still exist on this process that feels a little bit familiar makes a lot of sense. I do also appreciate how you called out this idea of like basically creating versions of a page or versions of like one sliver of the sitemap. And that's another kind of idea that's spinning in my brain now where it's like maybe designers are just not really doing that much from a blank slate in the future. It's more about how quickly can I generate a spectrum of options and then know what to pull out of that spectrum to create where I'm going to actually land the plane.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So I think that taps into like just ideation being rapid and effortless. So tapping into that and trying to generate as much inspiration as possible. Another thing that's interesting with like the sitemap process is that the AI, because the AI is trained on like a large data set, right? It actually understands a lot more about an industry that your client might be than you in the beginning. And so typically what we would do as like a someone building a website for a client is we'd go and do the research first and then we'd go and design the thing. But now it's almost like you're doing the research and the design at the same time. You're learning things and you might be suggested things that you hadn't considered before. So I think that's an interesting thing to think about. I'm not saying that you don't need to do the research, but it is interesting to think that you're almost learning as you're creating as well. Because again, it's always collaborative. You're collaborating with an AI that has knowledge of industries far greater than your knowledge. And that's sort of like an interesting thing to point out. So yeah, you're learning as you create, which is a bit of a shift from how we would traditionally approach things.
I like that. I haven't thought about that before. It also just like empowers designers to throw the ball further from a copywriting standpoint too. Like, sure,
yeah,
the copy that was generated, it wasn't perfect. Like a UX writer is going to make it a little bit more unique and tasteful, but it was 100%. Pretty good. Like I was really impressed by the quality of the copy that was coming out. So it's clear like that barrier has been lowered. You've also talked about how you have this specific phrase where you say good design is too important to be left solely to designers, which I want to talk about that a little bit, because it's not just copywriting that is having a lower barrier now. It's like, well, shoot, you know, my wife's downstairs. She's looking at that and probably is like, well, I could do that. Like I could spin up a sitemap and interface with a client when a tool is doing that much of the heavy lifting. So how do you think about how we define the role of a designer and how it fits into like a broader team now that these tools are so capable?
I think that the better design can collaborate with other disciplines, you know, the better the outcome. I'm a product designer myself, but let's just focus on like a marketing website. For me, a strong goal of mine is to help Relu create a web that's just like more beautiful, communicates to an audience more effectively. And I think good design enables us to do that. Whether it's for a business or for a cause or organization, whatever it is, if we can have nice looking websites that are more digestible, then that's important. And so I think part of that and what makes that important is inviting other people into the process. Like you're saying, a copywriter. I think a lot of designers are capable of writing copy, but having a good copywriter in your team and inviting them into the process that understands the audience that you're speaking to. Because at the end of the day, a website's 80% text, then that's going to be useful. And so what I think this does is it actually invites that perspective into the process and it's more accessible, I guess, for a copywriter to get involved and even like jump into, say, Relu and start working with the designer and focusing on how the copy works with the layouts. Because I think that's like the purpose of the wireframe phase. And so, yeah, that's where I say it's important. I think designers also, I'm a big believer that designers should sort of get outside of just design and start thinking about things outside of just look and feel and start understanding how this is going to work from a marketing perspective, even from the tech side as well. And so, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say around this idea of design being too important to just be left to the designer to do. Like inviting people into the process is always going to result in a better outcome.
It definitely feels like we're entering the era of the generalist. And the more conversations that I have about these topics, the more people bring up this idea of taste and how important that is going to be in a world where, yeah, the AI can do a lot of the idea generation for us. So do you have any practical ways that designers can grow that muscle and more effectively spot good ideas versus bad ideas?
I think taste is definitely something that for me is hard to define. Like, what is good taste? The way I've always gone about it is it's a little strange because I feel like I have good taste, but I might have horrible taste. But what I do know is that there's people out there in the world that I look at and I just think, wow, like what they've made is awesome. And so I just try and find as many people out there in the world, whether that be, I think Twitter is a great way of doing it. And I try and consume as much of their work as I can. And I feel like it's sort of hard to describe and put in words what I mean by looking at someone's work and going, wow, that's like impressive or beautiful. But a lot of it for me comes down to, I try and surround myself with people and projects that are of a high standard. And I almost make it like a habit to consume good design. Those people are almost that I aspire to, and the works that I sort of, the places I go to find those pieces of work, they're like the filter that influences my taste long term, if that makes sense. Does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't. I think that's why I ask, is because it keeps coming up conversationally, but it's this really wishy-washy thing. It's like, well, how do I invest in something that I don't even know how to define or quantify? But yeah, I do think it comes down to like it's visual reps. It's seeing as much good design as possible and trying to understand the connections between why you like certain things. Maybe we could even zoom out from taste a little bit. And I want to toss a quick hypothetical your way, which is, you know, given your vantage point and an understanding of what AI is capable of and thinking deeply about how this might impact the role of a designer. Hypothetically, let's say that you are someone who is 2, maybe 3 years into your career as a product designer, and you see this impending shift that is being spawned by AI. What are some of the things that you would be doing to future-proof your career?
Great question. I personally hold the opinion that there are many aspects of design and being a designer that aren't about pushing just the pixels, and it's about thinking and solving problems with a design thinking mindset. And so I would be leveraging AI as much for ideation, basically thinking about how we've approached Reloom from a, what's the process you go through? What is AI good at doing? So for example, for Reloom, it's really good at like laying out content and writing copy and like just generating a bunch of ideas about that. But it's actually not good at designing a component or building a component. Hence why our product's been successful, because we've combined our component library with what AI is good at. So, and that pairing has worked really well. So I would sort of look at like the design process, and wherever you feel like AI is complementary to that process, use it. Try and use it as much as possible. Like for instance, with product design, it's not there yet, but I think like synthesizing customer feedback and stuff like that, like that's an opportunity that I'm starting to think, speak to a lot of customers or speak to a lot of users, and like there's all this information. It'd be nice if AI could sort of just trawl through that and like give me the key insights. So like really thinking about how AI can assist you through that process. But I do not believe that AI is just going to like come and it's going to replace the role of designer. I think the role of a designer is to understand and respond to human feedback. It's to tell a story and communicate that effectively with internally to a team or externally to a community or the market. It's to think critically about design and critique design. It's to adapt and evolve with new trends. It's to think strategically about the goals of what you're trying to do. These are all things that AI can assist you with, but it's not going to replace that anytime soon, I don't believe. So yeah, going back to what's my process, how can I leverage AI at what it's good at, and focusing, you know, your efforts around that. And of course, there's a side of design that's more UI focused, building things faster than ever, obviously ideations faster than ever. But the pairing of those two can help you prototype and simulate design. So I think one part of like being a great designer is designing a system that doesn't break or is effective across different devices and mediums and languages. So designing a visual language, for instance, I think AI can help you like simulate that out and see how a design system can actually work across different breakpoints, like you saw with Reloom effectively. So yeah, there's all these little parts of the process where I'd just be doubling down and trying to figure out how I can leverage AI, but knowing that I'm still in the driver's seat here and AI is just my assistant.
You know, we're talking a lot about AI, but when you started Reloom, like you were working on a component library, you know, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that you woke up and were just like, I'm going to start an AI company. So can you talk a little bit about that strategic shift and how that happened? But I'm also specifically interested in, like, how did that stretch you as a design founder? Like, what were some of the ways that you personally had to grow in order to execute against this vision?
Yeah, for sure. We weren't that early to the whole AI wave, to be fair. The way we sort of approached the early phases of our business was we didn't actually think too far ahead. And we did that so that we didn't have any like concrete plans of like, okay, we're going to start as an agency, then we're going to build a component library, then we're going to do AI. We never had like, people would ask us, oh yeah, what's like your 5-year plan? And at that stage, we didn't know. And that's completely fine. I was comfortable with that. I had done startups in the past. I was comfortable with like figuring it out as you go. And I think being comfortable with that allowed us to spot opportunity and react quickly. And so we actually started as an agency, knowing that we had a passion for building products because we had done that previously. And so we started the agency just as a way to sort of bootstrap the business and just to get ideas, because we had previously come from a startup incubator where they sort of get you in a room and you have to come up with ideas, and that didn't really work for us. So we wanted to just like do something, and out of doing something, discover insights and build products. So that's where we started as an agency, then build the component library out of our own pain points with like redesigning the same nav bar over and over again for different clients. So the reason why I'm telling that story is that it was the exact same approach when AI came around, where we weren't thinking too far ahead. We were focused on solving problems that we had as an agency, which included like just wanting to build a website, design and build a website faster, build websites that are scalable. And that was sort of the focus at that point. And then the AI wave comes in. And we thought to ourselves, we have this like nice business, big component library at that time. We're a small team, but we're profitable. It was a healthy business. And we thought, the first thought was, is this going to disrupt us? And so we wanted to sort of disrupt ourselves first. So we started to just tinker with AI. And then as we started to tinker with AI, we were thinking, wow, this is like, one, it can't build a component as well as we can. But like, there's this whole side of it with like copywriting and content that would pair really well with what we're doing. And I think if we had like this like super long-term 5-year plan of like, this is what we're going to do, then I don't think we would have spotted that. And I don't think we would have acted so quickly on it, because as soon as we discovered that, it was within a month, we were spinning up a plugin for Figma that basically, it's still available today. We called it Reloom Ipsum, where you can sort of run, you can like build your wireframe in Figma, and then you can like run copywriting and it fills all the components with copywriting, which is like sort of similar to what you see with our site builder now. But that was like the first step. It's like a small little bet, but also we were thinking, if we work on this for a month, the upside is that, you know, this product could do really well and put us on the map. There wasn't really downside, because if it didn't do well, we were going to learn about AI anyway. So say if it wasn't a commercial success, the worst that can happen is that the team learned how to use and work with AI. It was just a no-brainer to sort of stop what we're doing. We thought this was too important to ignore. Let's just tinker. Let's come up with a small project. Yeah, and it wasn't a commercial success, really, Mipson. It really wasn't, if we're being honest. But it was because we did that, we were then like, there's something better we can do here. We've experienced the Figma plugin experience. We felt like that we couldn't get the best possible experience out of it. Hence why we decided to build our own tool. We did want to be as close to Figma as possible, but we just found building our own experience and all the learnings from Reloom Ipsum helped us get to where we were with launching the site builder, which was like within 3 months after that, or 4 months, if that. So we acted quickly. But yeah, that's sort of how it came to be.
I actually want to talk a little bit more about that relationship with Figma, because it's interesting to see these new AI tools you know, obviously you guys and Galileo would be another example where this copy to Figma feature has been pretty high priority on different roadmaps. And it's quite clear that as it currently stands, like Figma is still the creation hub where all of this happens. I'm really curious to hear your perspective as a tooling founder, though. Like, how long do you think that it stays that way? And how does that impact the way that you think about your own company roadmap and where you take this thing?
Are you talking about like platform dependency? Is that what you're referring to?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. My prior startup was dependent on Facebook. We had like an analytics tool. Anyway, like platform dependency is a real risk. What limited our success was platform dependency. So I've been burnt by platform dependency in the past, but it's also a great way to, again, just respecting the process and respecting the tools that people use. I'm a big fan of Figma. I love Figma. It's just, if I were to create a tool for myself, I would want it to work with Figma. So it was like super important that we integrated most effectively with Figma, but we do understand that there is risk in doing that. One of the things we're doing is to diversify basically the platforms that we connect with, but in a way that actually makes sense. Like we have Webflow as sort of development side of things. We have Figma as the design side of things. We're now exploring building a React library, which is going to give us even more, less dependency. So that's one strategy for us. Also just, we sort of need to have this belief that what we're doing is different to what Figma's doing. We definitely do have that belief, because if we were doing things that are just like the same as what Figma's doing, then what's the point? Like, why would people use Reloom and Figma if it wasn't providing a different experience? And fundamentally, I think given the AI shift, we're building a platform in this new generation. The shape of it, the experience of it is going to be different to tools like Figma that have all this history. And I think overall, we're niching down into a job to be done that is to build a marketing website. Our user experience is solely catered around this idea of having an AI assistant and a component library. And I think it's resulting in a completely different experience that ends up complementing Figma as opposed to matching what Figma's doing.
And it makes sense. I mean, you've laser focused on, like you said, like one set of jobs to be done, one process, one outcome. Totally. In my mind, it feels very obviously niche enough where there's like defensibility, you have the component library, like it's a really rock solid foundation, which then makes me curious to hear more about this potential move into more traditional like product design, web apps, because there is a lot more like complexity and strategy that goes into that type of a deliverable. So what do you have to create or what has to happen for you to be able to make that jump successfully?
It sort of does go back to, we don't think that far ahead. We
feel you can't with AI, it's happening too fast.
Exactly, yeah. We feel like, so I did mention that we're exploring the idea of taking this process or taking the same opinionated approach to software with the product process. And I can imagine like user flow. So if it was like a Reloom for web apps, I can imagine us starting with, okay, what are the user flows? What are the sort of the UIs and journeys that we'll need, but at a level of fidelity such as a sitemap, and then bringing in the ability to, it still is a wireframe, I guess you could call, but the components that would be comprised inside of the wireframe would be more component driven, and therefore they'd be more like technical or like web apps. It's just like a whole different thing, right? But we already have like application components, so it'd be about like, how do you take little smaller elements and bring them into a UI based off the screens that the AI has sort of ideated on in the previous step? So I think that's the path we would take. But to be honest, we haven't thought too far ahead about that, because we're solely so focused on like just doing a really good job at the current job to be done that we're exploring. And I mentioned opinionated. I think that's a good point also to make, is that we're quite, because we are targeting a niche, we're quite opinionated with our software. We have like a method and a philosophy that we believe in will get to the best outcome, and we're trying to design an experience around that, which also helps us differentiate our product from other competitors too.
Yeah, it definitely stands out to me. And I think it's also part of what is making the whole process feel more accessible, is you've kind of put the guardrails in place, not only for the AI, but also for someone who maybe hasn't actually stewarded a full web design process end to end before, which is kind of cool.
Mm. It, hopefully we can back that up with some good educational resources. We're a small team, and that's one part of, you know, our business that is probably falling behind, is like creating, we're working on it, but creating content to support the use of the tool.
Well, I know there's a million things that you want to do. Can you just give us a little glimpse of something else that just has you excited when you look forward into the future, whether it's the broader industry or where you're going with the tool? Like, what is something that's banging around in your brain right now?
Yeah. We're super excited about what we're launching next. It's no secret. It's on our website already, but we're exploring the next phase in the process, which is the concepting phase. So we call it the Style Guide Builder. It might not ship with that name, but the idea of helping people come up with visual concepts and design languages for their wireframes. So I'm really excited about that, because again, AI, it's a great balance between having some of our like hard-coded rules mixed with AI's generative process and ability to image recognize things and ability to take color palettes and typography pairings and bring that all together. Yeah, so I guess the next phase is we're going further along that job to be done with designing concepts, basically a style guide design system builder that then can be applied to the wireframes is what we're working on, which is
amazing.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, you've already had such a huge impact on like the industry and web design as a whole, but it's clear like you're just getting started. So if you're watching this and you haven't already, Reloom.io, just spin up an account. Like, it's actually so easy and fast to get going and to create something. It's really, really fun. So big believer in the best way to prepare and invest in yourself is just to tinker. And this is a pretty good next step. So Adam, thank you very much for coming on and taking the time to do the demo and give us a little glimpse of what you're working on and how you're thinking. And I hope it's valuable for people.
Thanks, Reid. Appreciate you having me and allowing me to do this demo on your platform.
Hey, it's Rid. Don't forget, each week I send an email to over 10,000 designers with featured resources and key insights that you can use to take a leap forward in your career. Head to dive.club/email if you want to sign up. I'll see you next week.